A relief rally on Wall Street. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News. The Dow up 490 points at the bell. The S&P also up more than 1%. The NASDAQ up more than 2%, a gain of more than 300 points. This after a better-than-expected report on inflation.
The Consumer Price Index was unchanged in October. For the year ending in October, the increase was 3.2%, down from September's reading. Economists were expecting inflation to moderate as Americans paid less for gasoline last month, though the numbers show more improvement than forecast.
Fox's Jenico Sola, inflation remains above the Fed's 2% target. The White House accusing Hamas of using hospitals for military purposes.
U.S. intelligence sources say Hamas and Palestinian Islamic Jihad and other terror groups are using Al-Shifa Hospital in Gaza City as a command and control center.
They have stored weapons there, and they're prepared to respond to an Israeli military operation against that facility.
Aboard Air Force One, White House National Security Council spokesman John Kirby says the U.S. does not want to see a firefight, saying patients and doctors must be protected.
Fox's Jared Halpern at the White House. Israeli forces have that hospital surrounded and have said they're letting civilians exit toward a humanitarian corridor, but remaining patients include infants in intensive care. The State Department says the U.S. would support a respected third party to conduct hospital evacuations. A day-long mass rally in Washington in support of Israel.
Whilst our loved ones are held captive in Gaza and our soldiers are fighting for our beloved Israel, Jews all over the world are assaulted for being Jewish.
Israeli President Isaac Herzog speaking to the National Mall crowd from the Western Wall in Jerusalem. President Biden offering hope today for getting hostages released without offering specifics as he headed to California for a meeting tomorrow with China's president. America is listening to Fox News.
Get ready for holiday feast season with Pepto-Bismol.
Uncle Derek's here with his famous fried turkey. Hey, Aunt Mary brought the mac and cheese. Donna's here with the potato salad.
Pepto-Bismol provides fast 5-symptom relief for unexpected stomach upsets. So enjoy the holidays. Pepto has you covered, no matter who made the potato salad.
When you have nausea, heartburn, indigestion, upset stomach, diarrhea.
Pepto-Bismol. Use as directed. Keep out of reach of children.
Can you trust the government to protect you? We have political chaos, high inflation, global wars, no border protection, and our leadership telling you about pronouns and electric cars. It's time to take a hard look at protecting yourself and your family. It's time to call Oxford Gold Group. Whether you want to diversify against inflation or have gold on hand, you need to visit jessekellygold.com. Protect yourself with a visit to jessekellygold.com. That's jessekellygold.com.
The mass shooting suspect charged with killing 10 people at a Colorado supermarket 2 years ago pleads not guilty by reason of insanity. The judge ruling in the same hearing that there is enough evidence for a Mona Lisa who has schizophrenia to stand trial. A competency hearing is now set for January. The man charged with attacking then House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's husband in their California home takes the stand at his federal trial.
It was a courtroom shocker when the defense's first witness was the defendant, and David DePapp used the platform to defend his wild conspiracy theories and his belief that Nancy Pelosi could help him root out the corruption he saw coming from Hollywood, Washington, D.C., and academia. He said the night he broke into the Pelosi San Francisco home, he never wanted to hurt Paul Pelosi, but when police arrived and he realized his plan was ruined, he snapped and lunged at Pelosi with a hammer.
Fox's Claudia Cowan in San Francisco. DePapp in tears during his testimony. He's pleaded not guilty to multiple federal charges, including the attempted kidnapping of a federal official, and he still faces state charges, including attempted murder. A former staffer for indicted New York Congressman George Santos pleads guilty for posing as someone else's top aide to raise money for Santos.
Sam Neely has admitted to a federal wire fraud charge, saying he told potential donors he was Dan Meyer, chief of staff for then House Speaker Kevin McCarthy. Santos said he fired Neely when he learned of the use of Meyer's name to get donations. Neely, who had previously been indicted on fraud and ID theft counts, will be sentenced in late April. He is the second former Santos aide to plead guilty.
Fox's Grinnell Scott. Last month, former Treasurer Nancy Marks pleaded guilty to a fraud conspiracy count and implicated Santos, who is facing a 23-count indictment. Recapping stocks, the Dow up 489, NASDAQ back over 14K. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
Hey, what's up? It's The Drive with Tim Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. Derek Piper, Lante, Kyle Tosk.
Learning the board, baby. Well, I learned a little.
It's a,
I don't know that I'm ready to jump back there and run the cruise ship through the little, you know,
this is an intricate offense. This is like you show up in Miami and you got to know Mike McDaniel's offense as a free agent quarterback. You're not getting thrown out there when number one, two is.
You know what I am?
Two is running the ship anyway.
I'm Jerry Rice in San Francisco my entire career playing the West Coast offense. Yep. Getting then traded my last year in the NFL to some other complex offense. And it's like, wait a minute, I'm a veteran. I know how to run this thing. And now all of a sudden I'm sitting there going, I don't know what I'm doing.
It's like, just let me turn the mic on and talk. I know how to do that. I'll run it down the sideline. You throw it to me.
Yeah, that's all you got to do. Yeah, Give me the yak. What a beautiful day for a big time game, Derek.
Beautiful day. Nice weather for the crush. I'm sure there's probably a few members over there standing outside already. Not to scare Kyle that he's not going to have a seat or anything. But
should you be over there, Kyle? Or
I'm taking the risk today. We'll see what happens.
With the number four ranked team in the country?
No, I think I'll be fine.
Get your butt out of here.
They added some more seats this year. So
maybe you should leave after the first hour.
I think
so. Not to kick you out of here. But
not to play dad and uncle here. But I think you ought to leave.
Kyle gets over there.
I'll be fine.
And they're like, the courtside seats are full. He's like, do you know who I am? Don't you know where I've been? Just all over the airwaves in Champaign-Urbana, residing areas.
You'll be having to sneak in with Piper on his press pass.
I could do that.
That would be...
Just scribble another name next to mine.
Yeah.
What Derek Piper and Kyle Tosk.
What we need is the... we need you there for the last segment for the... From the crush or whatever, you know, when you give us, you take us inside, inside the crush.
You might even be able to snoop around State Farm Center and give us an update on Tyler Kolek,
because
that's big news as we await tonight's battle between number 23 Illinois, number 4 Marquette.
Let's go.
The defending Big East champions. They won the Big East Conference Tournament as well. They're one of the hottest teams going into the NCAA Tournament last year. Although, of course, as well documented on this show, Shaka Smart no longer wins all that much in the NCAA tournament. This is not a tournament game.
Who beat them last year?
Michigan State.
That's right. Of course they would. Of course Tom Izzo would have his crew playing pretty good basketball at a certain point in the season to where they upend Marquette, who won everything they needed to in the Big East, and then somehow UConn goes on to win the national championship. And when you saw that UConn team last year, and you thought to yourself, Marquette beat them like two out of three.
Two out of three, yep.
I'm like, man, Marquette must be pretty stinking good. And according to you guys, they only lost one dude from last season.
They did.
Yikes.
Olivier Maxence Prosper, who was a late first-round pick. They returned 8 of their top 9 scorers from a year ago. They did split with UConn in the regular season and then beat the Huskies in the Big East Conference Tournament. I went back earlier this week and rewatched that game, and I was thoroughly impressed by what Marquette did in that one. Tyler Kolek was the top player, leading scorer in that game. He is widely considered probably the best point guard in the country. You look at it, he was third in the country last year in assists, 7.5 per game. He shot 40% from three. We talked about his game a little bit yesterday, but if he's not able to go in this, when he rolled his ankle late against Ryder, I know in hindsight, if you're Shaka Smart, you're probably kicking yourself because you were up about 30 to Ryder with like 8 minutes to go, and your starting point guard steps on somebody else's foot, rolls the ankle. I know that Jeff Goodman, Lon's buddy, said that he's a game time decision for tonight, so nothing official. Kyle was scouring the interwebs for Shaka Smart audio. I don't know if he chose not to talk yesterday because of the status and not giving any tips away to Illinois as far as what Kolek's going to be tonight. But obviously that would weigh heavily into what this game would look like. I think a lot of Atlanta fans want to see the best version of Marquette, not to have any asterisks put by that win if they were to get it. Now, it wouldn't change your quad one status because I don't think that would take away from still beating a very, very good basketball team. I mean, Illinois could still lose if Tyler Kolek wasn't going to play in this one, but to have him out there would be huge for the Golden Eagles. And if he's not, then Illinois would be, who's already listed as a 1.5, 2-point favorite, depending on where you look,
Illinois is?
Illinois.
Nice.
Even more of a boost. So, huge game. Yeah. And I'm really fired up for it. It's been a while. We talked about maybe a few weeks ago. There haven't been a lot of top 10 caliber squads that roll into town during the non-conference. That Arizona team a few years ago ended up being a one seed. I think at the time they were probably in the top 15 range, but this is one of the best teams that we've seen come to Champaign, really in general, but especially in the non-conference, and we always like those. I think these type of matchups, I know we get to Feast Week 2, and you got the Maui, and you got the Battle for Atlantis and whatnot, is really the like people that have been caught in football mode really dive in on college basketball. So I think if you're like locally here, of course the Kansas one was one to get fired up for, mm-hmm. but one that counts, this is pretty much the college basketball is here. Let's all bask in its glory.
It does feel kind of like the start. Like this feels like the start, although you had the Kansas game that really kind of kickstarted your season, even though it was an exhibition. And to be frank, I mean, there's not many teams that get top 10 teams into their place in non-conference during the regular season, right? I mean, Illinois is not alone in the sense of doing that, but I'm pretty happy with the last few years and on who Illinois has played in the non-con, even if it's not at home, in terms of last year, you know, with Texas a few years ago, Baylor. You also had UCLA last year. This year you'll have Tennessee, who's really good, Marquette. So I really like the way that this staff has put together schedules to test their group, and obviously they feel like this year this is a group that can handle it, right? And getting Marquette here, and of course it was 2 years ago that you went to Marquette and lost, and mm-hmm. yep. I'll never forget it because I was sitting bar side in Maui, and I was like, why, with two Marquette fans, and I'm like, why am I watching them beat us when they had no reason to beat you?
I can tell you why. Kofi Coburn was suspended for that game.
That's right.
And Andre Curbelo shot like 5 for 18 six turnovers.
He was really bad.
That was a rough one for Andre.
He was really bad.
Andre.
Hey, by the way, Sal on the U of I Lightning League text line, Kyle, said just drop Hans's name, and that'll get you anywhere you need to go. He sent us a picture today from Midway, and it's the Tennessee Volunteers playing. I'm like, wow, they're in town to scout us already. Is Stallion going to work with them or whatever? Is that the guy's name? All right, I've got questions for you, Pipes, on tonight's game. But one of the exercises I'd love to do with you guys and all of us, you know, we always worry about the other team. We always worry about, you were explaining some of the guys mm-hmm. on Marquette yesterday and what they could be trouble for Illinois, right?
Yes.
I like to look at our team sometimes sure. and try to figure out, okay, what is Marquette right now saying? What's a Marquette radio station saying? Okay, tell me about Terrence Shannon. Give me the scoop on Coleman Hawkins. Give me the scoop on, you know, Ty Rogers and Marcus Damask and some of the guys they brought in. So I want to kind of feed into that a little bit today. But I do want to ask you, like, with regards to Marquette, just right off the bat, and Kyle, if you have questions as well, just throw them out. But when we're watching this game tonight, I know you said last night they're a team that loves to get in transition. So mm-hmm. you've got to get the rebounding under control. Mm-hmm. I did notice yesterday Marquette has one more offensive rebound than Illinois, which surprises me. Because I know I told you coming into the season, now it's early. Granted, it's early, but the two teams you've played, you should have dominated on the board. So that is one thing that this season, well, every season, you know me, I love rebounding, and especially with an advantage. And I think it means so much to a game to be able to, A, control the ball on one end and limit teams to one shot, and B, on the other end, not every time, but to sometimes get that second shot, can be really debilitating to the other team. When all of a sudden they feel like they've had a stop, and then all of a sudden, boom, there's an offensive rebound, they put it back in. That said, you mentioned they like to go in transition. I get that. When they're not in transition, what am I going to expect out of this Marquette team tonight when they come down past half court and run the offense they're going to run? What are we going to be seeing as fans?
It's a spread it out offense. They like to play five out. There's big man Oso Iguodaro is very similar to Coleman in that he likes to play away from the paint. They put the ball in his hands around the high post. They'll put him in some isos and kind of the wing situation and try to see if he can break his guy down and create a good pass, or obviously he can go to the basket too. He handles it exceptionally well for a 6'11 big man, about 230, wow. 240 as well. He's the highest projected draft pick on this Marquette roster. He's kind of right now sitting in that early second round range, which that's going to be a very tough matchup for Coleman Hawkins. But then again, I think that both have similar skills
sure.
so that one matches up well with the other at the defensive end, just because of it's like, all right, this guy's not going to be uncomfortable with going out and guarding him on the perimeter, that kind of thing. So if Tyler Kolek's out there, obviously you're going to see the way that he breaks down defenses. He's really crafty. He can shoot it.
Right.
If you give him space, he's really good in ball screens. So you can't go under his screens because he'll just stop and pop on a dime and smooth shooting lefty. And then he gets in the lane. He's got floaters. He's got the ability to just kind of hit you with a variety of moves. And if you collapse and you bring help, they're kicking it to shooters. They got a lot of them. They shoot 40% for three as a team. They shoot a lot of threes just in terms of volume, as they did last year. Cam Jones is a 6'5 guard who is averaging
21,
over,
right?
Yeah,
he's 21 and a half.
21 and a half, and has shot at 50% from three so far this year. He's going to take a lot of them. I think last year and this year he's averaging about 8 3-point attempts per game and shoots it at a pretty good clip. They also have now David Joplin, who was the sixth man of the year in the Big East last year, slotting into the starting lineup with Maxence Prosper now being in the NBA. He's 6'8", 225. So I think body-wise, I think Quincy Guerrier matches up fine with him, but Joplin's a pure shot maker. He's a guy that I was watching that UConn game last year at the Garden, and he reels off three after three. He comes in off the bench, and he plays like 17 minutes and scores 17 points, hits four threes. So they're a team that will space you out, will shoot it, and even some guys off the bench that they bring in have some firepower as well. You know, Sean Jones is a backup point guard. He's really, really shifty and fast, especially if Kolek is limited or unable to go. You're going to see a lot of him. He's not a very good shooter, but a guy you got to contain off the dribble because he's really lightning quick. So offensively, it is a team that wants to shoot a lot of threes, wants to play in space, and it's going to force Illinois to be really sound and stick to shooters, but also don't get beat off the dribble and force rotations, because then obviously you're playing catch up, and they pass the ball really well also for a team that's played a lot together.
That's a great breakdown. One more on offense. Kolek, obviously an All-American kind of point guard. Not to try to rip anybody on Illinois, but you don't have a Kolek. You don't have even a point guard, to be honest with you. I still don't know. I know we say Ty can do it. Marcus brings it up. Shannon brings it up. So whatever. Whether or not – no, let me say this. I know we're in the system now, or we're in the game nowadays, where it's like, well, you don't really need that because all guys play – they can all handle the ball. Well, you're going to see if he's healthy tonight. You're going to see what a really good point guard can do. And Illinois fans are smart enough to know we've had him. We've had Frank Williams. Mm-hmm. We've had D. Brown, Darren Williams. And I don't have to go on through the list. I mean, Illinois has had good point guards to understand what they can do. It is kind of funny how you almost look in the mirror tonight and you don't see yourself, because it's like, oh, that's what we tried to get last year. Not Tyler Kolek himself. He would have been great.
Right.
But somebody of that ilk, essentially, that can do the things that you may see out of him tonight. And those are the kind of guys in March that can change games, and they can do it in November as well. But those are the guys that at the end of the night, you're like, man, that guy was tough.
Yeah, and he's a transfer from George Mason, who spent 1 year there, ended up in a Marquette, and that was a really, really good get for Shaka Smart and company. But yeah, there's no doubt. I think that we've kind of talked about it off the air. I don't think Illinois is necessarily even pretending to have a point guard right now.
Right.
Which I think on one side of the coin, it's maybe a good thing that you're not trying to force feed Ty Rogers and say, we're going to make him a legit point guard. We're going to ask him to do point guard-like things, and if that's not within his capabilities or what he's comfortable with right now, that could maybe go wrong for Illinois. On the other side of it, yeah, when you're going to face, and we'll break down Marquette defensively here in a second, but just kind of a surface level, they're going to press you. They're going to mix defenses. It's a situation where it'd be nice to have a sure-handed, legit point guard to be able to navigate through the press, to be able to get you into offense. And yes, I think offensively, if you have some – you just need playmakers.
Yes.
Like if you can get that out of Coleman Hawkins and Marcus Damask and Terrence Shannon, especially if you can get the ball to the half court and let those guys make plays, then I think the point guard thing is less notable maybe than it would be in a sense where a team's going to press you or that whole kind of thing. Of course, you have to guard other point guards, which
right.
I don't have too much worry about Ty on Kolek, because I think that Ty has plenty of athleticism.
Amen.
And that's not really necessarily Kolek's strength anyway. It's just kind of – although I'm sure with Ty guarding that position more frequently, you're going to kind of learned some tricks of the trade along the way. Like, there's a reason why Trent Frazier was a really, really good defender. It's not just because of his effort, because he was a good athlete himself. But as you play a lot of games, you learn what these point guards play games with you.
They're smooth. There's little
moves they do. There's little head jabs they do to try to draw calls and everything. And there's just things that a veteran point guard understands that that's going to be maybe an awakening for some other people. But I'll frame it this way too. I think if Illinois were to win this game, and let's say Tyler Kolek if he goes, let's say he does, and he doesn't burn you, the fact of them having an All-American point guard doesn't lead to you losing the game. You could make an argument that you're feeling, number one, pretty darn good that you beat the number four team in the country, but you also saw Dwan Harris in Kansas.
Great point.
Who is considered one of the top-notch point guards, mostly for his defense and his floor general passing. Kolek more of a scorer with also his passing, but you could say we faced Dwan Harris, we faced Tyler Kolek, and we won both of those games against legit, top 10. If you had a list of the top 10 point guards in the country and you beat both of them, maybe we're making too big of a deal out of the point guard. Maybe Illinois has enough around Ty or whatever you want to call it as far as the point guard position to get it done. So I wouldn't maybe go that far and say Illinois doesn't need a point guard the rest of the season and there will never be another time where it comes up where it's like, hey, it'd be nice to have a point guard. But if you were to win tonight and that's not an issue, it could show that Illinois could still win a lot of games without having gone out and answered that question.
I got one more question, and then we can take a break. Defensively, what are we looking at with Marquette? I know 309 said, can we get to the bucket and cut down on the three-point shots tonight? That obviously is a whole separate issue that we could tackle here on the show. But in terms of defense, athletic, obviously, do they switch on the outside? I know I read a Marquette breakdown of someone kind of scouting it'd be a media member essentially kind of breaking the game down saying, well, Marquette's got to get above screens because they can't let Illinois start going off from three. And I'm like, hold on a second. Where are you getting your info? But I think it was because of the Kansas game where Terrence Shannon, was able to get some shots off. And we know when Shannon goes off, your chances of winning a game go up 90%. I mean, it's happened. Every time he's gone off, we've pretty much won that game against top 10, universities and teams in the country, UCLA, Texas, Kansas in that scrimmage, if you want to go there. So what can we expect out of Marquette when Illinois has the ball in the half court? And how are they transitionally defensive? I would assume pretty good since they're athletic.
Yeah, I would think so. As far as the three-point shooting, and what you brought up the question of what are they saying about Illinois up in Milwaukee right now, it's probably hard to figure out which Illinois team's going to show up. What three-point shooting performance, if it's going to be what Terrence Shannon Jr. and Coleman Hawkins did against Kansas, where those guys combined to make 9 threes, then obviously that's a big deal. And then you look at their stats on paper through the first two games, and they've shot 29% from three as a team, which is very much in line with what they did last year from three as well. So it's like, all right, we'll see what happens in terms of Shannon and Coleman. Maybe Coleman comes out and pops too early and he gets confidence, and then something you got to take into account. But it's kind of like that. I think kind of big picture, you look at Illinois and you think Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. And
no doubt.
You've heard through the offseason that guy's gone to therapy and he's going to be more steady and he's not going to be as up and down and just, off the whatever you want to call it, loose cannon. But maybe there is some of that still in Illinois. We'll see. But in terms of Marquette, schematically, 1-2-2 press, I think you're going to see a lot of that.
Okay.
They're going to look to trap you. It's not going to be like VCU entirely in terms of, like, there are balls to the wall.
Yes.
Going to trap you at every opportunity, going to try to turn you over before you cross the half-court line. They'll take some opportunities to do that, but it's a little bit
they kind of move down with you.
Yeah, it's kind of selective.
Yeah.
It's selective. And I think what's interesting out of that, I'm sure that Shaka has the ability to dial it up to a higher level. Maybe he says, hey, let's put the pressure on early and see what a no point guard offense trying to bring it up on us when we're really going at him looks like. So I'll be interested to see what that turns out to be. But as they drop back into the half court, they'll mix man and zone. They'll play some man. They'll play some 3-2 matchup zone. If I'm Shaka, and look, this isn't me. I'm sure Shaka's not listening right now. I'm not giving any.
You never know.
Not giving him any tips.
You'll bust right in.
If it was me, I'd play a lot of 3-2 matchup zone on Illinois because of their inconsistent 3-point shooting. Because that puts more people around the lane, allows you to put you in an easier position to help on Terrence.
Mm-hmm.
They will, when they're in that zone, sometimes trap when the ball goes to the wing, which I would do to Terrence if I were them. They definitely trap pretty much every time the ball goes inside. So when Dane Dage is in the game, expect him to catch it on the block and another guy's coming to trap him. So you got to be able to pass out of that. You got to be able to execute. I think as you look at them, it's really a situation where on the perimeter, their front line of defense is going to potentially cause a lot of problems because of how they're going to fly around. They're going to try to swipe for steals. They're going to be in your face. If you can get through that first level and you get into the teeth of their defense, kind of in, where really I think they're more toothless in the inside and get around the lane, they're not as good at contesting around the basket, and they're definitely not very good and haven't proven to be very good early on this season at securing defensive rebounds. They've given up 32 offensive rebounds, I think, through two games to Northern Illinois and Rider. So Illinois has a big chance, even if they don't shoot it all that well from three, to go to the offensive glass. Quincy Guerrier, Coleman Hawkins, Dane Danger, Justin Harmon, a number of guys, Luke Goody, to go get second chance opportunities and put those in for scores. If you're able to do that, that slows down Marquette's break. And I just think there's a lot of opportunity for Illinois to impose their will on the glass, which can kind of counteract a Marquette team that wants to use their guard play and their fly around ability to hurt Illinois. So which one of those prevails tonight will be very interesting to see. I think Illinois, there's a world where Illinois just hammers them on the glass, gets the ball to the rim, and Marquette's in a world of trouble.
I like it. The other thing, you said the 1-2-2. If there's one guy in the world that should know how to attack that, it's Jeff Alexander. Because all they've ever done in Lincoln, Illinois is play a 1-2-2 press. And Jeff, I mean, look, he came up with his dad watching it played. I'm sure he's coached it at Lincoln. I mean, it's unbelievable what that town does and how they have run that from third grade to senior year in high school. Everybody in that school knows how to run a 1-2-2. So Jeff Alexander ought to be able to say, hey, guys, here's the thought. This is how maybe one team beat it, because there's not many that have beaten that press very often against Lincoln. That's why they're always good.
I know. And
the only reason, but they're always, man, they're tough with that thing.
They also don't believe in the shot clock. So
they don't.
They run a lot of, Lincoln's a very good program. I've seen them. Obviously, my brother was playing at Centennial. You get the holiday tournament over there. And they were a tough matchup. But with the 1-2-2, you hope there's not, you don't dribble. You should know, and you hope, especially guys at this level, know you dribble to the sideline and pick up the ball. You're
done.
You're screwed. So don't do that. Move it. Get a guy in the middle. And try not to be sped up. Try to be ball strong, turn and face, pass it through the zone. You don't need one guy to dribble weave through it in terms of that. So, and then I think in the half court, I would really like to see Shannon downhill as much as possible, because you look at Marquette's backcourt, I think they're very, very good. They don't match up great with Shannon in terms of his strength and keeping him from going to the basket. If Illinois really puts that as an emphasis, and particularly Shannon, in terms of going to the basket instead of shooting a bunch of jump shots. So I want to see that out of him, but I think Marquette will probably try to throw some stuff at him to get the ball out of his hands too.
And the last thing before we take a break, the other thing about that 1-2-2, if they do go ahead and do that tonight, they're going to eat 10 seconds off that thing before you even get into your offense.
Yep.
So if that is an issue, I don't know that it will be. I don't know that Illinois is predicated on, we've got to have every second of this shot clock. In fact, Brad even said last year Illinois took way too many tough three-point shots early in the shot clock. So if nothing else, maybe this is going to at least get the shot clock where he wants them to start running offense and go from there. But I could see how that could slow Shannon a little bit in terms of that. But you know what? It comes down rebound. Rebound the basketball, like you said. Rebound the ball. If they're great in transition, so can Illinois, and especially a guy like Terrence Shannon. I think Ty Rogers is really good in transition as well. So get those rebounds and go, you know, and one of those to where you can get down and get comfortable in what you're going to run. So
that's a good point.
This is going to be fun.
It's going to be a lot of
fun.
It's
going to be fun.
Yeah, I mean, we talk about what Marquette wants to do defensively. If Illinois can run on them, then you don't let them get set up in that press. You don't let them maybe decide whether they want to mix up man and zone. And I think that's one thing with the 1-2-2 is that if they eat up a good portion of the shot clock, then you get it across half court. You got to then identify, all right, are they in man? Are they in zone? Exactly. What are we running? How do we get it where we want? Those are the things that Marquette wants to utilize to their advantage beyond just trying to force you into turnovers. So that's something I think Illinois is going to have really good recognition of, get it across the timeline, understand what they're in, and then have a flow and a rhythm about your offense.
I love it. I love it. Kyle, if you ever want to weigh in, you can. We promise we'll
try. Do you have anything to add, Kyle?
Do you have anything?
I don't know how I can add anything to that breakdown by Pice.
He's nervous. What do they do in the crush? Do you guys always wear, like, a certain color?
Orange, all the time.
Okay, that's what I thought.
There were certain
games. I should
games,
know that. I
like,
apologize.
There was one game last year where they told us to wear white, I remember. Okay. But it's almost always orange.
I should know that, and I apologize. Because today you've got your blue.
I got an orange shirt underneath my blue hoodie.
Okay, gotcha.
You ever thought going the orange, like Dumb and Dumber suit?
The tux. There's usually a couple of guys that do that, right?
Yeah, I think I've seen that before.
Is the one big dude with the big hand, is he still there? Like, that was like 12 years ago, wasn't it? He was the king of that, man. Yeah. That guy was awesome. Well, I think it's great. Has there ever been a team, not a team, has there ever been a university that has pulled the orange crush on Illinois where you guys go somewhere? Didn't they have the issue last year where they
ate the Iowa?
Yes.
Yeah.
Iowa. I watched some of their football game last night against Rutgers, and I'm just like, that kid actually threw for a few. Deacon or whatever.
Deacon Hill.
They actually threw for a few yards in that game, but whatever. Whatever is what I say.
We got to catch a break. If you want to weigh in, you can. 217-359-2255 on the U of I Atlanta Link text line. Hit us up. Questions about tonight, thoughts, predictions, the like. We also got some other games to break down. Both last night, Michigan was impressive yet again against St. John's. Purdue took care of business at home against Xavier. And then quite a hefty slate when you got the Champions Classic. You got Kansas playing Kentucky, Duke and Michigan State, Wisconsin on the road in the Gavitt against Providence. What's the other one?
Iowa.
Yep, Iowa and Creighton.
My. Here's your Tuesday. Have fun. They're all the same night. I mean, space them out. I need that. I have to focus on Illinois. I can't be focused on 18 different games. I don't stay up past like 9:30, so I have to rely on you two to tell me the next day who looked good. I think Michigan did.
They did.
Okay. Yeah.
We can talk more about that. Talk more about this matchup when we return. This is The Drive.
You moved into your new home using two men and a truck. The garage was clean. Then,
I love the new recliner. What are we going to do with this old one?
Put it in the garage for now.
Over time, this cycle continued.
Put it in the garage for now.
It happens. You got junk. Call Two Men and a Truck to get rid of all your junk. Residential or commercial, Two Men and a Truck has a solution for your junk removal. Contact them at twomenchampagne.com.
Two Men and a Truck.
Elevate your exfoliation game with Merle Norman. Say goodbye to dry, patchy, rough skin with the Advanced Exfoliating Charcoal Scrub. It's packed with detoxifying charcoal and mineral-rich volcanic sand for fun, gritty, at-home, microdermabrasion-style facial treatment that results in an instantly polished, more visibly radiant complexion. Get instantly nitty-gritty pretty skin with Merle Norman's Exfoliating Charcoal Scrub. Available now at Merle Norman.
When it comes to finding a reliable vehicle, look no further than Sarah Champagne, your trusted automotive destination. They carry a lineup of top brands, including Honda, BMW, Subaru, GMC, and Buick. And they're not just about cars, they're about people. Their team is dedicated to providing you with trustworthy service and dependable vehicles that fit your lifestyle. Experience the difference at Sarah Champagne. Visit Sarah, S-E-R-R-A, Champagne.com.
I've got to clean out this garage. Let's see. What's the cheapest and easiest dumpster service in our area?
Here's what I found. The doggy bag.
Think she's broken. I'm not looking for takeout. Siri, try again.
The doggy bag from Bulldog Disposal in Mahomet.
Doggy bag? What's that?
If you got junk that needs to go, but you don't want the hassle of having an enormous dumpster delivered, grab a doggy bag, keep it as long as you need. They'll come take it away. For more information, just visit bulldoggybag.com.
That's bulldoggybag.com.
Carl works every day to improve the health of community members across the region, and it would not be possible without team members like Sierra Poole, phlebotomy lab lead at Carl Foundation Hospital.
I love working at Carl because of the togetherness among the phlebotomy team and opportunity to advance within the department.
If you're looking for an opportunity to serve your community like Sierra in a supportive environment with opportunities for growth, visit carl.org/careers.
These days, you don't mind staying up a little late or waiting in line. These days, button-downs turn into t-shirts, and dinner consists of popcorn and a pretzel. These days are about singing and yelling and jumping. These days are game days. Game Day Spirit, where Fighting Illini fans shop.
Are you looking for something this holiday season for your customers that can say thank you from you, but at the same time showcase your business and their support? The hunt is over. We offer custom wrapped coolers and lasered mugs, tumblers, water bottles in all shapes, sizes, and colors. Call us at Aftershock 833-DECAL-IT or look us up online, AftershockDD.com. That's AftershockDD.com.
Illini fans, taste what's special about Jet's Pizza by ordering any of their specialty pizzas for $5 off. That's right, save $5 on all specialty pizzas like the barbecue chicken pizza, chicken grilled to perfection, premium mozzarella cheese, bacon, red onion, and BBQ sauce. All piled onto Jet's amazing crust made from dough they make fresh every day. There's also their super special all-meaty chicken bacon ranch and more, all $5 off. Make your day special and order a Jet's specialty pizza for $5 off.
You have money laying all around your house. You just don't know it. And no, I don't mean selling your great-grandma's good china. I mean all the old metal items you don't want to use or get rid of. Don't pay someone to haul it away. Bring it into Max Twin City Recycling and get paid to have it taken off your hands. They love new customers and are more than willing to walk you through their process step by step. Come check them out at 2808 North Lincoln Avenue in Urbana.
Starting it over is what we do at Max Twin City Recycling.
Switching is easy. We do it all the time. We switch on the lights. We switch TV channels. Some of us switch partners while square dancing. Well, that's a stretch. But what's not a stretch is how you can switch and save with State Farm. In fact, the Brian Hansen State Farm agency right here in Champaign-Urbana can switch you over and you can start saving today. Our team is ready to welcome you to the State Farm neighborhood. With the Brian Hansen State Farm agency, it's easy to switch and save. Just give our team a call at 217-344-1900 when you want the real deal. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Bills parlay wrecker.
I didn't even go crazy on it. I just had Allen for like 220, Stephon Diggs for like six catches, maybe 70, and after the first quarter I think they'd completed three passes,
probably had three turnovers.
Well, right, Allen leads the league right in interceptions.
Brutal.
My mom just sent me like a 40,000 word text. Now, come on.
Something important?
No, it's nothing important. We had a typewriter at our office. I mean, how old school is that, right? A typewriter. And mom is like, I'd love to have that because she likes to jot notes to people. And I don't think her handwriting's that bad, but I think she worries, you know, she's 83 now, and I think she worries that it's a little. So she now has a typewriter in her house.
Nice.
So, you know, I mean, don't be getting any thoughts of breaking in and stealing a typewriter, because none of you kids would even know how to use it or how to turn it on, number one. But it is kind of funny because she's ready to roll. She's ready to roll. She's going to start she'll probably mail you guys notes.
That's great.
She might bring me notes to the office to bring to you guys. to say, Kyle, I think you do a really good job. You seem like a good young man. Derek continues to add a lot of value to this this program that was needed. And it's just, and then I won't get anything except that text. I won't get any notes. And she'll put XOXO at the end. That's so funny.
I love it.
Yeah. I mean, it's mine.
Maybe I should write my article on a typewriter tonight.
Just, that would be cool.
How anybody else would be able to read it, but maybe I screenshot it and then put it on Twitter.
That's what we do. When I got into TV, that's how I started, with a typewriter. Yeah. That funny?
I could mail it to Jeremy. He'd get it by Friday.
Like on Sunday, I'm reading the story about the Marquette game. I'm like, oh, man, I forgot that even happened.
Yeah.
That'd be the one thing. I'd forget a lot of stuff. I'd be like, oh, well, that's a good point that Derek brought up. That's funny.
Man, I got a stat for you guys.
Okay.
I want your reaction. You probably read this already in my three keys and a pick, but
I haven't read that today.
This is via Derek Burson, who gives out the game notes. It was in the game notes, so I'm not going to take credit for this, although it's been a running stat that I have been aware of.
Can we pause for a minute?
Yeah.
You are now, what, 9-1 in the football predictions?
Yeah.
Or are you 9-1? Has there been 10 games?
I'm 9-1, yeah.
That's I was going to say that. I was going to say that yesterday and forgot. You're 9-1 on those.
I am, yeah.
Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Thank you. I've done pretty well through the years. Isaac Trotter beat me last year, and then I told him in the offseason, I wrote it in one of my articles, that Isaac Trotter, if you're reading this, I will return to the top spot. I've come in motivated.
And you're proving it.
I've had the good read, so we'll see who I pick coming up this Saturday in Iowa City.
Well, I'm anxious to see it. I'm not going to lie to you, because you've been spot on all season. Which one did you miss?
That would have been...
Was that Nebraska?
Oh no! I picked Nebraska.
No, you had a hunch about Nebraska before the season even started.
Yeah, it was weird.
Had to probably be Purdue, right?
I picked Purdue.
Oh, really?
I picked Kansas. I picked...
Was it...
Maryland. I picked Maryland, and Illinois beat them.
Okay. All right, I'll shut up now, and you move on.
All right, Brad Underwood, in his last 18 games against top 10 teams, is 12-6.
Really? That's a good stat.
It's pretty good.
Wow. Now, this would be the first – wait, would this be the highest-ranked team Illinois beats on their home court since Indiana? Is that what I read?
Yes.
With Tyler Griffey, right?
Correct.
Our buddy Tom Ackerman tweeted that out this morning, because he went to Indiana, of course, down at KMOX. And he's like, I was there. And he's like, that's not fair that that's the stat. All right, so he's 12-6 in his last 18.
Yeah. Two-thirds of his games against top 10 teams over the last 18 have gone Illinois' way.
Damn, that is a really good record. 12 wins and 18 tries against top 10 teams. Wow. Because how often was he the underdog? I mean, I you don't have it in front of you, so my apologies. But
would have been last year, both games, UCLA and Texas.
He's underdog tonight.
Underdog tonight.
Now, there may have been a couple Big Ten games where...
I know that the year that Illinois is a one seed, that was a loaded Big Ten that year, at least in terms of how they were thought of before the tournament, because they took a lot of... The Big Ten took a lot of losses early, but beating Ohio State, I remember that was a top 10. Yep. Michigan was a top 10, obviously. So
yeah, good call on that. That's a good stat, man.
Kyle, is this the biggest game since you're only a sophomore, so it's not a huge sample size, but biggest home game you've gone to?
For sure. Yeah, there wasn't anything comparable last year.
No, not at home, right?
Not at home.
And look at the cockiness where he's like, I'll get in. I don't know that. Are you sure you understand what you're doing?
I'll get in. The question is, where will I be sitting?
Okay.
And we'll find that out.
I mean, you may be up with my boys.
Maybe.
You may be sitting next to Andrew and Lucas. Like, hey, guys.
He'll be good.
I was going to say.
I think. Unless you want to go over there after this segment. And you'll be.
Let me ask you this, Dirk. If you're scouting Illinois, if you're Marquette looking at this Illinois team.
Yep.
Does Coleman Hawkins make you shake your head like he does us? I mean, obviously, we shake our head. He had 1 point in one game this season. But we also know what he can do. Does it almost make it harder for a team like, in this case, Marquette, to say, well, I'll be honest with you. I know what Terrence Shannon's going to do tonight. I mean, he's going to get you, He's going to get you 15 to 22, hit three threes, you know, grab a few boards, whatever. I mean, I pretty much know what he's going to do. In fact, he'll probably be better than that. I don't even know. 15 is probably a low floor. Coleman Hawkins, I have no idea. He could end up with 18 tonight. He could end up with 3.7 rebounds, 5 assists. I mean, and I think that's the one thing we don't value enough with Coleman is that he does the other things. Even if the scoring's not on, he does the other things seemingly pretty well for this team. But does that just make it harder to kind of scout a team like Illinois with a guy like Coleman?
It can. I think you know what he's going to try to do in terms of offensively being a guy that spaces the floor, being a guy that has the ball in his hands, that he's going to be able to make some decisions, make some passes. Can you put him in situations to make bad decisions? Right. Obviously, he's done that a handful of times, but he's also had some games with a lot of assists too. So, and then in that pick-and-pop role, kind of spacing it out, is he going to shoot the three? I think that's kind of an interesting decision of how you guard him. Do you really try to get up and get a hand up, or are you going to assume that, number one, he might pump fake it and try to drive, or is he just going to take that shot and not necessarily make it? So defensively, you certainly respect his mobility. Obviously, the way that he's able to cover a lot of ground, he can switch on to different people. I think that they might look at it if you're Marquette and say, hey, Oso Igudaro's got 10 pounds on him, and we might try to get him in some opportunities to kind of outmuscle him a little bit.
Sure. Yeah,
especially if you watch the EIU film and said, hey, this Jermaine Hamlin guy kind of bullied him around a little bit in that game. We probably understand the context a little bit more than an incoming opponent that doesn't see Illinois
There's no doubt.
All that often. You know, Coleman, through his career, has had some really good games against high-profile front court players like Keegan Murray, Chris Murray. He's had a number of games where you see, all right, this guy is an all-league type of player on the other side, and Coleman's done a really good job of defending them. So I would say, just based on how Coleman's played, he had a really not a very good week to start this season. Now, he ended up with a fine stat line against Oakland with 8 points, 8 rebounds, 5 assists. You'll certainly take that on any given night. I think just kind of overall his engagement and just being locked in and focused and giving off positive energy, that was one thing I really didn't like about what he showed in that Oakland game. Showed a lot of frustration and was just kind of seemingly in his own head a little bit. So I want to see him really dialed in, giving good energy to the team, and obviously against Oso Igudaro. I think you should take it a little bit personally because I don't know how closely he follows mock drafts, but The Athletic just put one out yesterday. Coleman no longer projected to be drafted.
Oh, really?
And Oso Igudaro is a early second-round pick. So it's a situation where he can look at it and say, this is a guy that I'll probably be going into the same draft with. This is a game that should attract a lot of NBA eyes. Obviously, I'm not saying that he's only selfishly looking at this thing and that he doesn't want to win and he doesn't want to show out well for his team, but if you want to look at it from an individual matchup, this is a perfect one for Coleman to show what he's got and show his ability to face another NBA-like front court piece who right now is slotted higher than him on the pecking order.
That's a great point. And that'll be interesting then to see how he, because he's come up to challenges before. I mean, he's shown up to challenges before, so that will be interesting. Ty Rogers is the guy we talk about. We love Ty. We talk a lot more about his offense than we do his defense. I know you mentioned he was running the wing a lot more against Oakland. Personally, I love that because I know he's down there. He's a dog on the rebounds. So I like that idea.
Right, right.
But I got where you were going there. Tonight could be a really good time for him to show out defensively against Kolek. And I know you mentioned that earlier this hour, but this could be one of those where when I think of Ty, I think he's limited offensively. There's no doubt. Mm-hmm. I'm not breaking, you know, ground there by saying that. I think he is one of those really steps up to a challenge defensively. And I think you could see that tonight with Kolek.
Yeah, you're going to need it.
Yeah, and you need it.
You look at the fact of, you know, the way Terrence defended in that last game, Jack Golke for Oakland, it was a guy who was going to put up a million threes, and Terrence made it tough to even get a look. So now you have Cam Jones coming to town, a guy that shot it really well from the outside. We know he wants to get his clips up from three. And if I was them and if I was projecting this thing out, I would imagine that they're going to say, Terrence, don't give him any looks. And when he tries to go off the bounce, show your athleticism, your strength, just – make his night really, really tough. And then if Ty is able to do that with Kolek, just in terms of, you know, cutting off his driving lanes, being on his hip pocket when he's trying to play pick and roll, and make sure that, you know, he is having a tough time getting angles and everything, that could be a really good thing for Illinois in terms of their backcourt and kind of slowing down Marquette's firepower. Because if they're not able to, if Cam Jones isn't, you know, making threes and kind of putting your defense in a real problem, and if Tyler Kolek's not able to utilize his ability to get in the lane and just kind of stress you defensively, because you're like, oh, we gotta help. No, we can't, because they got shooters. If Ty's able to kind of bottle him up a little bit. Now, again, I mean, Tyler Kolek is an All-American point guard for a reason, so I don't think you're going to totally shut him down. But defensively, this can be a really big night for Ty. And then on the glass, yeah, I think if he's not out there on the perimeter handling the ball and running your offense, I'd be fine with him crashing off the wing and going baseline and really being there for those putback opportunities and even just drives into the teeth of their defense, where I think that they got Iguodaro sitting there at 6'11". He's going to block some shots. But for the most part, they're not the most physical team all around. So I think that Ty's ability to go in there and finish around the basket can help. And if he does get fouled, though, and that's kind of be the qualifier for Illinois until we no longer have to say it. And unfortunately, I don't know if that's going to happen this year. Make your free throws at a higher rate, because that's something that can definitely hurt you, especially in a close big time game, and you'd hate for it to be the reason you lost in a game like this.
Derek's the expert, Kyle, but I feel like I'm wearing him out with questions. So I'm going to throw this one at you. It's not really a question, but you just mentioned it, Pipes, the idea that Terrence Shannon is a guy that is checking some of the better players off the other team. And then you realize on the flip side of what I said, he'll get 17 to 22 tonight. Kyle, you kind of take for granted, maybe we don't, how good Terrence Shannon can be on that other end. When we know what he can do offensively, do you take it for granted? Do we take it for granted of how good maybe Terrence Shannon is, and how at where he stands, what, at 6'8", as a guy that can, or no, he's 6'6", sorry, 6'6", but strong, you know, he's a strong 6'6", good wingspan. Do we take it for granted him defensively?
Maybe. Yeah, I mean, obviously, I think for a guy like him who's tasked with being your leading scorer and a go-to guy offensively, I think that kind of gets lost a little bit. Like, I even remember that with Io. Like, he made his mark in the NBA with the Bulls defensively, but no one really valued what he did on that end of the floor for Illinois, because he was putting up 20 a game.
Right.
But I do think Terrence has all the physical tools to be an elite defensive player. Like, just with his athleticism, the way that he can stay in front of guys, the way that he just gets over screens. He reminds you of Trent Frazier with the way that he just refuses to get screened.
He does.
So, I think maybe we do. I mean, Friday night was really impressive what he did on defense. And I think when you look on a night like tonight with Jones on Marquette, who is a guy that they're going to run off some screens, try to get him shots, like, Terrence is going to need to show up on both ends.
Let's
he's going to need to get you the 17 to 22, but he's going to need to show up on both ends to win this game.
I feel good about saying this because it's sold out, but FS1, in case you're wondering. Mm-hmm. Yep. I know on DirecTV, that's like channel 219. That's all I know. I don't know where it is on everything else, but FS1 at 7 o'clock. Derek, because this hour replays from 5 to 6.
Oh boy.
I want to ask you this. What would a win for Illinois mean? I know we're not sitting here saying the earth is going to shift.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden we're going to have San Diego, California weather every day, although that would be a hell of a shift. And if that's the case, I'll go play tonight and just foul the hell out of Kolek till he's I'll just knock the crap out of his ankle so we can get 70-degree weather.
That's
nonstop.
What Lucas Johnson would do.
That's exactly right. Yeah, and, you know, we were with him all weekend, so what the heck? I'm ready to do it. But what would a win – you know, you have that win over Kansas. And like Lucas said on the air, Lucas Johnson, speaking of the devil, was like, I don't care what anybody says. Both teams were playing to win that game. And he was there. He was courtside. And he saw what he knows what that means and what that looks like. What would a win tonight against Marquette, the fourth-ranked team in the country, what would that tell us about Illinois?
I think it would tell you a lot. And by the way, if you missed, for whatever reason, Friday's show, I'd suggest going back and podcasting Lucas and Brian Johnson.
If you missed Saturday morning's tailgate.
Unfortunately, I was part of that group.
We did not record that, thankfully, but wow.
Man.
Anyway.
Jealous for sure. But Yeah, I think that for as encouraged as you can be about the win against Kansas, unfortunately, it doesn't count for anything in terms of your resume. Sure. And how the NCAA tournament committee is going to look at you. So this is a really a game that would slot as a quad one win. I expect Marquette to be a top 10 team throughout this season. So I think it's going to carry a lot of weight. I think it takes some of the pressure off in terms of going into December, because if you lose this game at home, there's no other home games throughout this non-conference play that's going to matter a whole lot, assuming you win them in terms of your tournament resume. So that would put a little bit more urgency on going to the Garden and beating Florida Atlantic, right, or getting a win as tough as it's going to be to go to Tennessee and be able to get one. Make sure you don't go to the rack and lose. So I think that Marquette, for the fan base in particular, would give you that peace of mind of like, all right, when we return, when we go into the thick of Big Ten play in January with a lot of opportunities because it's a tough Big Ten schedule to build your resume and who you're going to be, that you got one you can hang your hat on by beating Marquette. I just think kind of big picture and just overall feel is, again, I think Marquette is a team that can go to the Final Four. I mean, yep, they're ranked that way for a reason. They have a lot of continuity. This is a team that should be further ahead than a lot of people right now. Ooh, because they've played a lot together. Great so point. I think beating a team like that, we'll see what the context is in terms of Tyler Kolek's status, if he's playing, if he's hampered or whatever. But that would give you a lot of confidence of where Illinois is at right now, of their ability to then, if you could say, from late October through November, that you've outplayed Kansas and outplayed Marquette.
Wow.
And that's something you feel really, really good about. So I think there's a lot to gain resume-wise, just confidence-wise, and seeing a different style of team, a team that has a lot of really good guards, a team that's going to try to pressure you and get you out of sorts with their defense. I think there's a couple of things that I look at right now and say, I feel like this could be a bad matchup for Illinois. If they can tackle that and win, that would impress me and show me that they can handle something like that.
Okay. And as Kyler points out, he's right. On the U of I Atlanta Lake text line, Illinois is the favorite tonight.
They are. That's right.
As you had mentioned as well, by what, 1.5, 2 points. So interesting. Let's see what happens. I'm ready. Should Kyle leave?
I'm fine.
Okay. Don't say we didn't tell you.
I won't.
Car trouble. Have you packed stuff for the winter? I mean, snow can hit at any time. Do you have your candle in the car?
Do you have your candle?
Your shovel?
Are you supposed to have a candle?
I think you're supposed to have a candle, man, with matches, if you can find matches anymore. Mm. Long underwear.
Yep.
Snowmobile suit.
Without a snowmobile.
Without a snowmobile. the full mask where you only see your eyes and your mouth and, like, yeah.
Have you packed some snacks?
Like snacks?
If you get stranded, you could be hungry.
That's a great call. Like water, except it'd freeze, although you could still eat some snow. I'm just worried about you, Kyle. Thankfully, it's 60 degrees out, so I think we're all right.
What if there's a snowstorm's at least my concerns tonight getting over the game, but I do appreciate the
I'm just thinking out,
advice.
Looking ahead.
What if there's a cute girl in the crush line? She didn't have time to get dinner, and she's hungry, and you're like, hey, look, I got this cracker.
Kyle. She'd be like, cracker, I'm going to wait until I get inside, and I'm going to get like a Then you got to have money. You got money? Oh, do you need money?
I do have money.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you need money? All right. I think we need to take a break.
Yes.
Kyle's like,
sorry, yes, Kyle. Sorry for doing that to you, Kyle.
Yeah, we do.
All right. We'll catch a break. Talk more about this matchup, other games tonight. We'll do that all as we go along. This is The Drive.
Hi, I'm Tyler Weaver, president of Carpet Weavers Flooring and Furniture Gallery. It's time to come home to Carpet Weavers. We don't want you to just like your new floors. We want you to love them. From waterproof floors and carpet to furnitures and design advice, we've got a team of experts on your side. We'll get you the best price and the best quality products. And complete your home with furniture and accessories. Buy it all with free financing, too. Come home to Carpet Weavers, where floors, furniture, and family meet.